Armies and kings were used to traveling far distances by now, so the Persians had little reason to expect that crossing over to Greece would be any different than their expeditions to the west. Still, it is a bold venture and an important moment to show that the Eastern cultures are moving towards the west. Before dispatching his army, Darius sent emissaries to many Greek states to demand their surrender, and many of these states did surrender to the Persians. There were not enough allied states in Greece to ward off the invasion, and Darius first sent several hundred ships to sail under the command of two Persian nobles. The fact that Darius did not accompany the invasion has been interpreted to mean that Greece was not of great strategic importance to the Persians. This is one theory to try and set the invasion of Greece within a Persian mindset rather than a Greek mindset. The first fleet that Darius sent sank off the coast of northern Greece, and the following year he ordered another navy to sail west. They landed 20 miles north of Athens near the seaside town of Marathon. We have to imagine what the Greeks thought when the Persians invaded. They knew the size of the Persian Empire, they certainly knew their reputation, and they had never defended themselves against foreign invaders, at least not in recent memory. So they were not only faced with an army of enormous size, but also an army composed of many different ethnicities. This being faced with such an enemy would have been completely demoralizing for the Greeks. So we have to sympathize with the states that surrendered and perhaps be even more impressed that the Athenians were able to marshal a force of other Greeks to defend against the Persians. On the Greek side, they had several challenges. There was disunity on the part of the commanders about the strategy that they should employ. And, as I've said, many parts of Greece had already capitulated. Really, up to the last minute in this invasion, several Greek states were ready to surrender, and that would effectively turn over the entire peninsula to Persia. Herodotus describes the Battle of Marathon. What is most important about this battle is that the topography of the site meant that the Persians could not exploit their numerical advantage fully. So this balanced out the situation between the much larger Persian force and the smaller Greek force. Herodotus states that the Persians lost 6,400 men in the battle. In contrast, a mere 192 Athenians lost their lives in this battle. The Athenian losses are confirmed in other sources, but the Persian casualties seem exceptionally high, and they were probably inflated to give a sense of what great odds the Greeks faced against this Persian force. The significance of the battle for the Greeks, especially for the Athenians, was that they were able to inflict a major defeat of the largest army that had ever attacked them. This military encounter had very little effect on the Persians, but it was a moment of enormous significance for the Greeks, especially the Athenians. No Persian sources record the attack on Greece, or the one that Darius's successor, Xerxes, personally commanded 10 years later. Herodotus reports Darius's fury at the news of the loss at Marathon. He supposedly began depleting his empire to create another force to conquer Greece. But he had to set aside this second invasion to handle a revolt in Egypt. Darius died in 486 BC before he could lead the attack against Egypt or return to Greece. Other than suppressing the revolts that accompanied his conspiracy to rule, Darius was really not an especially successful military commander in comparison to Cyrus or earlier rulers that we've studied. He demonstrates, however, great skill at administration, And we will see this when we study his palace at Persepolis, where he had to control resources to build yet another new type of royal residence.